Coming up on KUCB News, a Magone employee tested positive for COVID-19 on Friday. And under federal law, health officials must protect the privacy of anyone who is diagnosed with the virus. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics, now providing new, used, and refurbished computers, tablets, iPods, MP3s, phones, phone accessories, and flat screens. We also carry external hard drives for your digital storage needs. Redfish Electronics is located in the airport parking lot next to Northport Rentals. Redfish Electronics can be reached at 359-2205.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Hope McKenney with some local news on Monday, July 27th, 2020. City officials reported a new positive case of COVID-19 in Unalaska Friday, bringing the total number of positive local cases to 96. The individual who tested positive is an employee of Resolve Magone Marine, a local company that handles marine and ship repair services in the Port of Dutch Harbor. The company reports that the individual arrived in Unalaska via commercial air last week, and in accordance with the company's mitigation plan, went immediately into quarantine. Upon receiving the positive test result, the employee was placed in isolation per state public health guidance, and close contacts are being identified through the state's contact tracing process, city officials said in a statement. Any direct contacts will be placed in a quarantine status for 14 days from the time of exposure, which is thought to be very limited in this case, they said. City Manager Aaron Reinders says Unalaska is not concerned about community spread at this time and will not be increasing its assessment of the local risk level, which is currently set at medium.
Obviously, it's not quite the same as having a quarantine group, so obviously one could speculate that this individual was flying with other people. But then I think back to, all the factors that the state is doing the contact tracing. And so if there's a need, then people would be contacted. I'm not overly concerned at this point, but obviously this reiterates the importance of doing all those protective measures regardless of the situation.
To date, this marks 96 positive cases of COVID-19 in Unalaska. This is the first positive case among Resolve Magone employees. Whereas 85 cases were among American Seafood's crew members on July 19th, and one was a Pac Steve employee earlier in the month. 8 have been among Icicle Seafood's workers, and one was an employee of the Alaska Marine Highway System, who tested positive for the virus in Unalaska on the MV Tustamina's first ferry trip of the season. With the exception of one, all people identified with positive tests are not residents of Unalaska, according to the state's Department of Health and Social Services. The King Cove resident who tested positive for COVID-19 last week has received a negative result from a subsequent COVID-19 test. Despite contradicting test results, the individual has decided to err on the side of caution, according to Eastern Aleutian Tribes, the regional tribal health care provider. They will remain in isolation for the 14-day period, adhering to recommendations from local and state health officials. The State Office of Epidemiology considers the first test to be the most accurate and will continue to show this as a positive case for the region. Meanwhile, hundreds more Alaskans tested positive for COVID-19 over the weekend, continuing the trend of the past several weeks. On Sunday, the state reported 231 people had tested positive for the disease in Alaska, the highest daily tally of the pandemic. And a resident of Fairbanks died of COVID-19, the 20th Alaskan to die of the disease, the state reported Saturday. The high numbers were driven in part by an outbreak among Alaska residents at an Anchorage seafood processor. The processor, Copper River Seafoods, reported 56 of its employees tested positive for COVID-19. Health officials say that outbreak has likely resulted in community spread. Over 20 people tested positive at a Juneau seafood processor, bringing the outbreak there to over 60 people. And more positives were reported in Seward, where the count at a single seafood processor stands around 100. Hospitalizations, which lag behind case counts by several weeks, also continued to climb. The state is currently reporting 35 people in the hospital with a confirmed diagnosis of COVID-19 and another 8 awaiting test results. Despite the rise in case counts and hospitalizations, bed and ventilator capacity are at a green level. For small communities, when a new positive COVID-19 case is identified, questions abound on what happened, how sick the person is, any underlying health conditions, and where they got it. But technically, that information is private. Under federal law, health officials must protect the privacy of everyone who is diagnosed with COVID-19. KFSK's Corinne Smith investigates the delicate balance between patients' privacy and the public interest in having relevant information during the pandemic.
When it comes to personal health information, U.S. law is very strict about privacy, and that hasn't changed during the coronavirus pandemic. The federal law known as HIPAA, or the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act, protects patient health information. It outlines who should be allowed access to it, when it can be disclosed, and for what purposes. Joy Chavez Mapai is a journalism professor at the University of Alaska in Anchorage and a health communications researcher.
It's this idea of protecting the privacy and security of certain patient health information during their most vulnerable moments.
HIPAA was enacted in 1996 at a time when healthcare record systems were moving to digital and the healthcare industry was booming and so needed guidelines. Congress legislated broad privacy and security rules for entities like hospitals, pharmacies, and insurance companies to protect patients' information. That means medical records, patient history, or any personal information are all kept private and can't be used or exploited by any other party with malintent.
And that includes Social Security, information that might be tied back to the patient that's identifiable.
Now, during the coronavirus pandemic, hospitals and public health departments are very careful to protect the identity of each individual with a positive diagnosis. Small communities may be interested to know who has tested positive and how they're doing, but health officials can't release that. Instead, they release aggregate data by region as an extra precaution. For community hospitals like the Petersburg Medical Center, which is conducting both COVID testing as well as patient care, they are bound by HIPAA to protect people's privacy. CEO Phil Hofstetter says they've had to withstand intense public pressure to release information.
I was glad there was HIPAA for that standpoint. I couldn't imagine releasing that information and then with so many unknowns and fear that person becomes ostracized. And that's a real thing.
Hofstetter explained, when a new COVID positive case is diagnosed in the community, first the doctor notifies the patient. The medical center then reports the new case to the Alaska State Health Department and the Petersburg Borough. But they do not release any details.
Certainly not the level of illness. We'll say if they're maybe if they're asymptomatic or symptomatic, that's about the extent of it.
Then the Alaska State contact tracers get to work. Privacy rules also apply, and so when they communicate with close contacts, they can't disclose who the positive case is, just that they were potentially exposed. Of course, patients are free to share their own information with anyone and speak publicly at any time. Alaska Chief Medical Officer Dr. Ann Zink explains.
So if individuals are okay with their information being shared, then that's fine. It's their information to share. And so we also see that in the media and other places where people share their status or on Facebook or with their employer. And so individuals are always welcome to share their information. We just can't share their information without their permission.
Personal accounts of what it's like to have COVID-19 have been crucial to public understanding of the pandemic, as shared on social media or by other media outlets. Patients in hospitals, which are governed by HIPAA, can give media authorization to share their personal stories. And in those settings, journalists need to get authorization from patients each time before reporting personal information. But access for journalists can be challenging, says Professor Mapai, amid healthcare agencies abiding by privacy laws.
And if you really think about it, it's quite a delicate balance. On the one hand, you have providers and the need to protect the privacy of patients during their most vulnerable moments. And then on the other hand, the public doesn't really get to see the full extent and toll of this pandemic, and that's difficult.
So as the pandemic continues to intensify, it's important to remember each new COVID case is a human being with distinctive experiences, thoughts, and feelings. And it's ultimately up to that individual whether to go through it privately or go public and share about what it's like. In Petersburg, I'm Corinne Smith.
KUCB will hold an interview program this Friday with guest Rob McKinney, Float Shuttle's chief operating officer. McKinney is taking the lead in restarting Raven Air Group's scheduled flight service between Anchorage and Unalaska Dutch Harbor. If you have questions for McKinney, please send them our way for possible inclusion on the show. Questions should be submitted via email to news@kucb.org by end of the day today. Again, that email is news@kucb.org. Then tune in to hear the program on Friday at noon, rebroadcasting at 5 p.m. here on KUCB 89.7 FM. And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Hope McKinney, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.